Hey everyone, welcome to the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. We're in the middle of talking about historical fiction. Last week we talked about two books. The first, the Declaration of Independence series, John Hancock, looked at the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. We met John Hancock, whose signature is so prominent on this document, and listened to a segment on his struggles with the issue of slavery. Our second featured novel was The Sutler of Petersburg. This took us to the Civil War and the Battle of Petersburg. We met the fictional sutler Tucker D. and discovered something about the real role of sutlers in the time of this conflict. And you can still find this podcast on my website. It's narrationbygeorge.com. Click on podcasts. Today we're going back out west, and actually to the west of the 1800s, the mid-1800s. We're headed to what would become Missouri to meet Samuel Winchester, the hero of our series, Outlaw Unchained. The episode I recorded is entitled Bleeding Kansas. Have you heard that term before, Bleeding Kansas? Well, the term comes straight out of our history. It was actually coined by Horace Greeley to describe what was happening in Kansas in the mid-1800s and to sell newspapers. In the mid-1800s, the nation was becoming more divided over the issue of slavery, particularly in the territories. The Kansas-Nebraska Act repealed a ban on slavery in the northern portion of the old Louisiana Territory to allow the settlers of these territories to decide their position on the slave question. Kansas became the target of both sides in an attempt to decide this question. The two sides squared off in a sometimes violent contest. Many historians have pointed to the events in Kansas at the time as the place where the Civil War actually began. While the conflict was serious, there was sensational attention given to it by the press in the East, hence the coining of the phrase Bleeding Kansas. In fact, says the Kansas Historical Society, Kansas was not nearly so bloody as the appellation implies, so there was sensational journalism even then. It is against this background that C.Q. Scafidi has penned his episode of The Outlaw Unchained. Samuel Winchester, as a former officer in the Army, has been wrongly accused of killing a family in Texas. He has escaped his jailers and is seeking to clear his name. In order to do that, he must meet with a man in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Being an escaped convict with a price on his head, he faces more than a few obstacles to get to Kansas. He manages to grab a ride with a gunrunner for the abolitionists, a man by the name of Cyrus. They form an uneasy partnership. Take a listen to this excerpt from The Outlaw Unchained, Bleeding Kansas by C.Q. Scafidi. The two were silent for most of the ride. Sam could sense that Cyrus was still not convinced of his feelings regarding the abolitionist movement. Sam knew the only way to convince him would be to confide in him fully, putting himself at risk of capture, just like placing a gun in a stranger's hand, as Cyrus had done for him. The $500 bounty alone would more than compensate Cyrus for his trip across the state of Missouri and make it profitable to turn him in. Sam knew he was taking a huge chance, but he felt he had no choice. "Cyrus, when I said we needed to talk, I wasn't referring to your cargo or why you were carrying it." Cyrus turned to him with a quizzical look.
"I don't understand, Sam. What'd you want to talk to me about?"
"On our last stop, inside the general store, there was a wanted poster on the wall with my name and picture on it."
"A wanted poster?"
Cyrus replied incredulously.
"Are you trying to tell me that you're a fugitive from the law? That I've been harboring a fugitive?"
"Wrongfully accused," Sam blasted back. "I am on a mission to clear my name. Someone or some group has conspired to frame me for a murder I did not commit. I've been set up and sent to hell for a crime I did not commit. You seem more concerned about whether I support the abolitionist movement. Cyrus,
I was rescued by the son of an escaped slave, Billy Cypress, son of Leon Cypress, former slave and honorary member of the Seminole tribe. I'm with you 100% on the issue of slavery. It's a huge injustice, just like the injustice being done to me. I am with you. Are you with me? Cyrus seemed to be studying Sam's rugged face, searching for any clue as to the truthfulness of what he was telling him. How could he be certain? Then he had a sudden flash of memory. He had handed this man a fully loaded weapon at camp on their first night on the Santa Fe Trail. Sam could have shot him and stolen all he had. He hadn't. Cyrus knew then, as now, Sam was a man who could be trusted.
"Wrongfully accused, were you? Tell me what happened."
As the two rode together, Sam detailed his entire life's saga. His graduation from West Point, his achievements in engineering, his work with the Army in Texas, the love of his life, Emmeline, and her wonderful father, Colonel Edelman. Then, finally, the court-martial proceedings for his trumped-up murder charges. Cyrus listened in silence after hearing the full details of Sam's story. He was fully convinced of his innocence.
"I've something else to tell you," Sam silently muttered.
"What now?"
Cyrus exclaimed. "Try not to get angry with me, but I have a sneaking suspicion that those were no ordinary outlaws we gunned down at the creek."
"What do you mean?" Cyrus asked.
"When I saw the wanted poster, I realized that those men were more than likely a posse sent out to capture me. I never would have placed you in danger knowingly under any circumstances. I thought I was traveling undercover after I left New Orleans. I had no idea they had picked up my trail in St. Louis, but according to the poster, they did."
Cyrus sat silently listening to Sam. He finally let out a laugh.
"What is so funny?" Sam asked with confusion.
"I've wanted to confide in you about the very same thing. You see, I'm running guns to fight the pro-slavery border ruffians and their war against the abolitionists. I was convinced that was who had attacked us, and they were after my cargo. I lied when I told you I was concerned about frontier outlaws. It was the border ruffians that had me worried, and with good cause."
So we both had our own ideas about the shooting and were afraid to tell one another? Now that is kind of funny. Now you have me wondering if you may be right." Sam chuckled. The moment of levity shared by the two dusty travelers was to be short-lived. As the two approached St. Joseph, or St. Joe, their luck was soon to change. St. Joseph was founded on the Missouri River by Joseph Robideau, a local fur trader. The town was officially incorporated in 1843 and was where pioneers would stay and purchase supplies before they would head out west in wagon trains. The town was a very bustling place, and the heart of the growing conflict between pro-slavery advocates and the abolitionists wishing to make Kansas a free state. A section from The Outlaw Unchained, Bleeding Kansas, by C.Q. Scafidi. Now, while this book is not necessarily a novel about history, like our feature last week on John Hancock was, the author has set the novel in the midst of some very real history, which plays a role in the plot. Listen to this next section of the book. We're going to meet Philip Stanley, who has his own story to tell. Philip Stanley was a fat, jovial, ruddy Irishman who came to St. Joe's by way of Boston, Massachusetts. He was a gentle giant with a perfectly manicured handlebar mustache and a bright red head of hair. The hair collar only highlighted the redness of his cheeks and nose, common to those Irishmen that were inclined to over-imbibe. His journey from Dublin to Boston to St. Joseph was a circuitous one. His family had emigrated when he was a boy and settled in Catholic Irish Boston, where his father got work on the docks of Boston Harbor. Philip had felt the sting of discrimination. Upon arrival in the New World, the Irish Catholics were treated very much like the African slaves and were only offered the most menial work for slave wages. The treatment received by Philip in his early years was what nurtured in him a growing hatred of the institution of slavery. Massachusetts had been a free state since 1783, well before the arrival of the Stanleys to Boston. His mother taught him that slavery was indeed a sin, and not something which good Catholics should ever engage. As the fight against slavery swept across the country, the dividing line was being drawn, and it went straight across the territory of Kansas. Indeed, the Kansas Territory was the final battle for slavery within a specific state. The battle over whether Kansas should be a slave state or a free state was waged between the border ruffians and the abolitionists, most of whom were flooding into the area to swing the vote in favor of free state status. The military was traditionally in favor of slavery, especially in the Kansas Territory. Philip felt certain that the military was aiding the border ruffians in their war against the northern abolitionists settling in Kansas Territory. The media, specifically Horace Greeley, coined the name of this proxy war over slavery, Bleeding Kansas. It was this struggle that had brought Philip to the Kansas Territory. Philip was one of the many northern settlers whose sole purpose for moving west was not for greater opportunity, but to impact the elections regarding slavery in the newest states in the Union. He found the battleground to be along the border of the state of Missouri and the divided territory of Kansas in towns along the Santa Fe Trail, like Independence and St. Joseph. As he sat at his desk and shuffled through the daily reports, he heard a knock on his door.
"Mr. Stanley?"
"Yes."
"It's Cyrus Borden. You wanted to see me."
Philip leapt to his feet and immediately opened the door.
"Yes, Mr. Borden, please do come in and have a seat."
He smiled broadly at Sam as he quickly shut and locked the door.
"I trust your accommodations are satisfactory, Mr. Borden."
"Yes. Housekeeping comes a little early, but—"
Philip interrupted him in a low, stern voice.
"Listen, we both know you're not Cyrus. He was a friend of mine. What are you doing here, using his name, and what do you know about his whereabouts and my cargo?"
Sam was taken aback. He felt there was a possibility that the two had known one another. He immediately came clean.
"Cyrus is, or was, my friend as well. I only came here because he told me about you, this place, and what you do here."
"What we do here?"
Philip gave him a look of curiosity.
"Look, I am fully aware that this hotel hides a secret."
"You are you? What secret would that be?"
"Cyrus told me about the secret annex, the meetings, and the cargo. I support your efforts and came to you for help."
Philip gave the gangly but freshly washed stranger a good look up and down while attempting to determine whether he was trustworthy and telling him the truth. Realizing that the stranger could have killed him by now if he had wanted to, he decided to take a chance and hear what the stranger had to say.
"Before you go any further, let's take a walk around the hotel. These walls have eyes and ears, if you know what I mean."
"Fine by me," Sam agreed, and the two left the office and moved towards the saloon and restaurant. As Sam had expected, beyond the restaurant was a door to the kitchen which led to a pantry door which was disguised as a wall panel. Once inside the pantry, a corridor led to a hidden staircase that went down to what looked like a large ballroom or some kind of ceremonial setting with flags and strange symbols on the wall.
"We can have real privacy here. I don't like prying eyes or ears. This is about as safe as it gets here in St. Joe. Have a seat here and tell me who you really are."
You'll have to acquire the audiobook or the book to find out how all of this turns out. It's called The Outlaw Unchained, Bleeding Kansas. It's by C.Q. Scafidi. It's narrated by George Taylor of Narration by George. You can find more information about the book and hear another audio sample at my website. It's narrationbygeorge.com. Either click on Books on the menu and scroll down to the icon for this book, or do a search from the bottom of the homepage for The Outlaw Unchained. You can also find the book at myhelpinghandspress.com. Again, do a search for The Outlaw Unchained. Next week's podcast will be a bit different. Instead of audiobooks next week, I'm going to share a blog with you from a rather amazing young man with some interesting spiritual insights. If you are single, I particularly invite you to join me next week when the Narration by George podcast will be new on Wednesday. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter. I go by the handle @narrationbygeo. I invite you to like my Facebook page or follow me on Pinterest. On both of those, it is Narration by George. Your comments are welcome on any of these forums. Don't forget that what's going on with Narration by George can also be found on my website, narrationbygeorge.com. And be sure to join me if you're in the Kansas City area. Be sure to join me for the Here Now Festival. That's the weekend of June 11th. That's a Thursday through the following Sunday. Well, that's it for this week's podcast. The Narration by George podcast is the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. See you next Wednesday when we are again new. Talk to you then. Bye.